Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This episode of Luke's English Podcast is sponsored by Spoken. They specialise in helping busy people improve their English for professional purposes in a really convenient way. Because with Spoken, you can get tailored and flexible English lessons delivered directly to your phone via messaging services like WhatsApp or WeChat. It's basically like having a business English teacher in your pocket. And the guys at Spoken are offering you two free lessons and then 20% off all of their courses. To check it out and to automatically get that discount, go to getspoken.com/LEP or click a Spoken logo on my website. Okay? Right, so that's Spoken. And I've just got two short announcements to make before we start this episode properly. The first one is that there is a bit of swearing in this episode. That's it. Okay, just wanted to say that to you just in case you are sensitive to that kind of thing. But somewhere around 35 minutes into the podcast, you will hear some swearing. So brace yourselves for that. Okay. The other thing I wanted to say was please, please, please vote for Luke's English Podcast in the British Podcast Awards. My podcast has been nominated in the Listener Choice Award. And to vote, just go to BritishPodcastAwards.com/vote and search for Luke's English Podcast. Okay, if you vote for me, I will bring balance to the universe. I'll bring peace to the galaxy. And I won't, I promise I won't turn to the dark side like Darth Vader or something. I'm not going to do that. Okay, I will bring balance to the living force and free ice cream for children. Okay, all right, good. Now here's the jingle. And here's the jingle. Go. You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk. Amber and Paul are on the podcast. Amber and Paul are on the podcast. Amber and Paul are on the podcast. Amber and Paul are on another podcast. Paul's a very funny boy. His laugh I very much enjoy. Amber's got a lovely voice. If I could choose an accent, hers will be my choice. Yeah. Right, welcome back to Luke's English Podcast.
Hello!
Here's another episode for you to listen to. I'm going to go straight into this one with no introduction.
Ooh. Fucking breaking the boundaries there.
I'm breaking the rules.
Pushing it forward.
I know. Because I thought, I'm just going to...
Have you had some negative feedback about your intros?
No, certainly not. No, it's just that... negative feedback? Never.
Maybe.
No, only from you and members of my family and my friends who are like, your introductions are rather long, aren't they?
You do say the same thing about 50 times over.
You do repeat yourself rather a lot, so I'm not doing that in this one.
Okay.
No extra introduction. That's what I'm going to try and do. So anyway, hello, listeners. Welcome back to Luke's English Podcast.
Bienvenidos.
Obviously, in this one, I'm joined by pod pals Amber and Paul again. Hello, guys.
Hello.
How are you?
Very well.
Good. Let me just check the audio levels. What's the situation here, Amber?
Today in Paris?
No, right now, what we're doing now?
Right now, we'll check out
the video on YouTube and you'll see what the situation is.
Oh, there's a video.
There is a video.
Yeah.
You're recording this without our permission. We don't have to sign any waivers or anything like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you can, you can check out YouTube, Luke's English Podcast on YouTube. And hello, we're here. We're here in Luke's lovely apartment with all the wooden beams. Yeah. And... yeah, that's the situation. Okay.
So they can find this video on the page for the episode or on YouTube. That's right. As sort of podcasters, we have to remember that only a small portion of the audience are actually watching this. The vast majority are listening to this. So let's not do too many visual jokes or communicate too many messages which only work to the visual audience.
Okay.
We need to bear in mind that most people are sitting on a bus, sitting on a train, lying in bed or something and listening to this without the visual aid as well. Okay,
so right. I won't do any thumbs up or anything.
No hand gestures and things like that. You know, just keep it oral.
Oral.
Keep it oral.
Oral.
That's what she said.
Keep it oral. Yeah, you can't go wrong with that. With that bit of advice. Okay. So anyway, how are you're fine, right? I mean, we've established that already. Yeah.
Yeah. We're fine. We're fine. You're fine.
I'm fine. You're
good.
Fine.
I'm fine. Yeah.
You're fine.
Yeah, I'm fine as well. Thanks. Good. Just checking that the audio levels are fine here as well.
I was a little bit late coming here, so I was really rushing to get here.
Oh, come on. Come on, for goodness sake. Okay. All right. Now, what I was thinking, right, is that just in case some of my audience aren't familiar with you, mm-hmm. and there might be some people on the internet, YouTube audience who aren't familiar with you too, I thought I'd rush through a very, no pun intended, I thought I'd go through quickly some, you know, basic info that we've already established on this podcast about you two before, okay?
But for new listeners who are just joining.
Yeah, just in case people don't know, or in case people have forgotten for any reason, I'm just going to basically go through it again. So we'll start with Amber, all right?
All right.
So Amber is from London in England, but she's been leaving... I'll start that sentence again. Let me start that again. Amber is from London in England, but she's been living in France for ages and she speaks fluent French, correct?
I do.
Okay.
Not as good as his.
Not as good as his?
Yeah. No.
Okay. She has the loveliest voice in the known universe.
That's true.
That is true.
Yeah.
Causing hundreds of thousands of listeners from around the world to melt as soon as she begins talking.
That's nice. You're setting me up for a fall, though.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, when...
People are going to write back saying, I hate her voice.
I don't think her voice is that lovely.
No, exactly.
It really grates the ears.
Exactly.
I don't think that's going to happen. Everyone's going to agree with that one.
Yeah.
Well, you would have previously played the jingle.
Amber and Paula on the podcast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
At the beginning of this episode, right?
So all of this is unnecessary.
Yeah.
The jingle basically
says it all,
doesn't it? Yeah. Okay, well, anyway. Okay. You know, yet again, I am repeating myself, but, you know, that's just what I do, innit? It's my thing, innit?
Is it, Vlad?
It is, obviously, yeah.
You're suddenly, like, teaching gangster English, isn't
it? Yeah, right. Okay, yeah. So today, right, we're going to learn proper, real English from...
The streets. From East London.
Okay. So, continuing with the introduction to Amber. So, Amber, she also has a son called Hugo, mm-hmm. who makes dinosaur noises mm-hmm. and poos under tables.
Not regularly.
Sometimes.
Just once.
Once.
Once. One poo under one table. One poo.
Okay, that's stopped now? He's not doing that anymore?
I've not had any subsequent poops under tables,
okay, so how's the potty training going, if you don't mind my asking?
It's good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Good, like it's really good.
It's good, like yeah. We're having less accidents.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm getting to grips with
the directional.
Really?
It's a very
peeing.
Strange thing, potty training. When you really think about it, like how is it so weird mm-hmm. that we have to learn how to go to the toilet? We must be the only species on Earth that cares about how we go to the toilet.
What would happen if we didn't get potty trained as children? What would happen? Would we all just be pooing and peeing everywhere, like in the metro?
Just come naturally. Maybe after a while.
But it's different. Like if we were living in the wild, we wouldn't have clothes and we wouldn't have the same.
We'd just be going to the toilet in nature. Just you need to pee, go for it.
Go for it. Yeah,
nature's going to get pretty messy, though, isn't it? After a while, if that's what's happening.
That's
what animals do.
There's more animals than humans, so I mean, technically, there's more poo.
Let's not go down this road.
It's a weird social cultural thing.
Just a question. Listeners, if you've got the answer to that question, feel free to leave it in the comments section. Yeah. What do you think we would do? What would happen to civilization if we didn't have potty training growing up as children? Would it be better or somehow a lot worse?
I feel it would be worse.
That was a bit of an accidental partridge there, wasn't it?
Yes.
I'll have to explain that at some point. So continuing, Amber also, she sometimes has nightmares about fish.
Yeah.
True?
True.
Yeah. She loves listening to audiobooks and BBC Radio 4.
Yeah.
You sometimes work as a teacher with children, but you also have a background in theatre.
Mm-hmm.
And did you know this, Paul, that she studied mime for 2 years?
I think we talked about it on a previous podcast.
You studied mime for 2 years?
Yeah, well, it's sort of.
Right.
Yeah.
Were you a good student?
No.
She was a loud student.
Right. Do they know what mime is, do you think? Does everyone know what mime is?
No. So it's probably not.
It's quite important.
Right, I'll see you later then. That was it.
I'll get my coat.
It's not the mime like you're in a box. Not that kind of mime.
Oh, isn't it?
No. I think I've told you this before. It's a sort of different mime. It's called Nicole Internationale du Mime. It's like physical theatre.
Oh, I see.
So it's not like we've never got out of a invisible box.
Not getting out of a box.
It's just being physical on stage.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I did some colours for you before.
Yes, I do remember that.
I mimed some colours for you.
Yeah, you were like, green.
Was that
just us two? No, you were there as well, I think.
Yeah, it was upstairs.
I vaguely remember that. Can you mime a colour for us again?
I'm not feeling it.
You're not feeling it?
Well, now that she's on video.
That's visual, though. The audience is going to...
Yeah, but at least last time when you mimed, there was no video.
I think I just did it for you.
Okay.
Okay. Well, anyway, physical theatre. Amber is also a tour guide in Paris sometimes. Mm. She's very well-read, and she knows a lot about the history of this great city. One of these days, she's going to produce her own podcast about the history of Paris, and everyone is waiting for it expectantly. No pressure. She recently learnt the words burlap, gaslighting, and Hobson's choice.
Yeah.
These are new words that you recently learned.
Yes.
Yeah.
Gaslighting.
Shouldn't
just their
have
expressions,
mentioned
it. Don't worry about it.
I shouldn't have mentioned
it.
No, but isn't that torture or something?
No.
Some form of torture?
No, it's like when you try and... It comes from a play or a film. A play, I think, first.
Play.
And this guy tries to make his wife think she's sort of losing it by... sort of tricking her. And they call it gaslighting because it's this old-fashioned house. So he'd like go upstairs and I don't know, make noises. Or I can't remember exactly. And she would... say to him like, I heard these things, and he was like, no. But every time he did that, the lights would flicker because he was turning on the lights upstairs because it was gaslighting. And to gaslight someone is to sort of make them think that they're going mental.
Make someone like manipulate someone by making them think they're going crazy.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Listen to episode 431, and everything will become clear. Nearly
that's
finished.
Me. No.
I would say that she's probably more intelligent than both of us.
Well,
combined. Yeah.
No. Well, we did a pub quiz.
That's true.
Very recently, you weren't there. James was. Did it with Luke, and we won.
Really?
Because of Luke.
Oh, really?
He really knew all the answers. I think James knew one. I knew one. Even the ones.
What kind of questions were they?
All a myriad of questions, like in all different fields and disciplines, and Luke was on it from start to finish. Me and the rest of us were piss poor, to be honest. It was Luke.
I do know quite a lot of trivia.
He does.
But you know why? You know why that is? I attribute it to the work of being an English teacher.
Yeah.
Because so many lessons in so many textbooks for learning English are full of that kind of stuff.
Like stuff that you never need to know.
So many reading texts and listening exercises that focus on like these bits of knowledge. So I kind of know a little bit about everything.
Mm.
I'm a jack of all trades, master of none. Which is how the phrase goes.
Yeah.
Anyway, is that enough?
That's
do you think
plenty.
We've covered everything with Amber?
I think so. She also does stand-up comedy. I don't think you mentioned that anyway.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Very funny.
Which, if you're new to the podcast, that's how the three of us met, was through a stand-up comedy.
Yes.
Because we all perform stand-up together.
Exactly.
And we still do. As recently as Monday last week.
Yeah, last Monday. Yeah, it was a smash hit, wasn't it, that show?
It was a good show, yeah.
It was brilliant, yeah.
So that's how we all met.
Okay. So moving on to Paul Taylor, at PT Comedy on Twitter, as he's also known.
And Instagram.
And Instagram.
At PT Comedy.
Okay. Paul is from... Canterbury in England, is that right?
Yeah, more or less.
Kent.
Yes.
That wasn't a rude word. just that's the county in England that he comes from, Kent. Which is in Britain, which is in the UK.
Is it in Europe?
Which is in Europe. Sort of.
Okay.
So he's from England.
It's connected to Europe though, isn't it?
By politics.
And a tunnel.
And a tunnel. Right.
Well, less by politics now.
True. It's hanging by a thread at this stage. Anyway.
Well, apparently they announced it's happening 29th.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Article 50?
29th.
It's been triggered?
It's going to be triggered on 29th.
It's going to be triggered on the 29th. Yeah. Why don't they just trigger it now?
I don't know. Because it's a 9-day delay.
Okay.
I don't know. Theresa May's.
Wow. It's actually going to happen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness.
Anyway.
Well, all right. I'm sure that we'll be talking about that again at some point in the future. But Paul is from England, but he also spent some time growing up in France, where as a child, he once nearly burnt down his house and he stabbed himself in the face with a kitchen knife while pretending to be one of the teenage Ninja Turtles.
Oh, that was one of my stories.
Yes.
I Damn. Okay.
Leonardo from the Ninja Turtles.
That's
he thought hero. He was Leonardo.
He thought he was a hero in a half shell.
Turtle
power.
You stabbed yourself in the face with a kitchen knife while pretending to be a Ninja Turtle.
Yeah, yeah. For those of you watching the video, you might be able to see the scar on my eye somewhere up there. If you're not watching the video, then you can't see it.
Yeah, you just have to imagine it.
It's very faint.
It's on one of the sides. It might be the wrong side.
Yeah, I can see it.
Okay.
Anyway. Right. Yeah. So I tried doing that.
So Paul also has a funny, infectious laugh, which causes my listeners to make fools of themselves on public transport when they can't help laughing too, which is one of the aims of this podcast. So apparently when you laugh, there's people on buses going... And all the other passengers are like, what is... Why are you showing signs of joy? Stop it. Stop showing joy in public.
You're half in the picture, Luke. You got to move in.
Okay.
No, move in, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Kind of move outside of the video frame. Paul has... he has naive eyes.
Oh, yes. That was a comment, wasn't it? Naive eyes.
Naive eyes.
What do you think, YouTube? Do I have naive eyes?
I think he's got cynical eyes. Personally, deeply cynical,
beady
eyes.
Little sort of suspicious eyes.
He doesn't know any words.
You sounded like Barack Obama there. He doesn't know any words.
He doesn't know any words. He speaks French with no accent. He also speaks Spanish and has a talent for doing accents in English. He used to work for Apple, but he quit his job to do comedy, and it's going pretty well, actually.
Pretty well.
It's going all right.
He used to do. No, he still does. His one-man show called Hashtag Frongley twice a week to sold-out audiences. Sometimes three times a week to sold-out audiences. And his TV show, What the Fuck France, is a hit on YouTube and Canal Plus, which is a TV channel here in France. He used to do a podcast which was called Becoming a Comedian, which was all about the challenges of becoming a comedian. But now he's become a comedian, so the Becoming a Comedian podcast is now redundant. When are you going to do the Become a Comedian podcast?
Oh, being a comedian.
Having become a comedian.
Come a comedian.
Comedian.
That'll be my intro. That'll be my my jingle.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm still trying to figure out what to do in terms of, I don't know, like either a vlog on YouTube or a podcast. I don't know. I'm trying to figure it out. I haven't decided yet.
Yeah, okay.
I want opinions. Tell me what you want. Would you prefer video updates? Do you prefer audio updates? Because I know a bunch of your listeners came to my podcast and they were commenting like crazy and they're loving it and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, if you want more podcasts, let me know. Or if you want videos, let me know. I haven't decided.
I think you should do videos.
Videos, like vlogs.
Yeah, like vlogs, because you get to do... Because part of the thing that's interesting about being a comedian is you travel and you get to go sort of unusual places.
Yeah.
I know that one green room can look a bit like the next.
Yeah.
But they do all have like a little bit of style. I don't know, there's something very visual about like...
You know what
comedy.
I thought about? I had an idea yesterday because I was knackered because I was just moving all over the place. And so I just sat in bed for most of the day watching YouTube videos on my phone.
Right.
And I'm subscribed to GoPro, the GoPro channel. And all of their videos are incredible. It's like, you know, people doing backflips on snowboards, like diving. They're incredible videos. And I just thought it would be funny to pitch them the idea of doing like a GoPro series, but of somebody doing normal stuff, you know, like me walking around the street in Paris, you know, like the daily vlogs. If I did like a daily thing of like, hey, this is my life as a comedian. There's nothing extraordinary about it. Like I'm walking down the street, I'm getting the metro, I'm on stage, which is maybe a little bit different to a lot of people. But it's not like you're not watching it going, how is he doing a triple backflip?
This is like buying a coffee.
Exactly.
Whoa!
And so maybe if they hook me up with some cameras, then I might start doing a... So if you're listening, GoPro...
You should do it.
Of course,
I might do that. But I don't know if people will be interested enough. But having said that, there's so many vlogs right now that are just taking off. You know, like that have got tens of millions of subscribers.
Yeah.
And they're not really talking about a lot or doing much. But nice. Like people love seeing what other people are doing. So maybe
yes. No, I think you could definitely do something video. I think you'd make it good. Did you watch the video of those naughty twins? The other day.
Naughty twins.
They have, you know how like some children. They're little, they're about two. And there's a camera in their bedroom, you know, I suppose, that the parents can look.
Oh, the one's knocking, like the bed falls on top of him.
No. So it's these little twins and they've sort of speeded it up. But basically you just see the twins in bed and they like get out and then they're just like running around the bedroom and having a chat on the sofa and putting all their cushions everywhere. And then their parents come in and put them back into bed and then they're just out instantly and just like hoofing around their bedroom all night, like these naughty little things. It was...
It's a sped up video of a pair of little children running around their bedroom at night when the parents don't...
No, the parents don't know.
They're just running around their bedroom at night. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so what's it called? Naughty Twins?
Yeah, just look. Just put in twins, you know, out of bed on YouTube, you'll find
it. So if you Google Naughty Twins bed, then...
you might come up with something else.
You might find something else, you know.
So it depends on your feed.
It does. Depends.
Where they sort of automatically go with your search.
Yeah. If you search for that in YouTube, you probably
I'm going to type in Naughty Twins bed to see what happens. Naughty.
Okay. Let's see what the results are.
Twins.
I'm not sure that technically you can show that on video because, you know, my whole...
I'll just tell you if it's the right video or not.
Naughty bed twins?
Well, this is just children here.
It's just all children.
Yeah,
that's good.
Right.
Thank goodness for that.
In fact, there's loads of naughty little twins.
Yeah, no pornography.
No, there's...
Okay. Is that a good or a bad thing that there's no porn? I don't know.
That's great.
I think it's good.
It's good.
I mean, YouTube should just be clean.
It's a safe space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. When you were a little child, did you get up out of bed and run around the room at night?
I don't remember, but probably, considering that apparently when we used to go to restaurants with my parents when I was a kid, as soon as I finished dinner, I'd be legging it around the restaurant to get rid of energy. So I had a lot of energy when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Surprising, still that, isn't it? Very hard to imagine.
Can you imagine me without energy?
still got all that energy now, I see. What about you, Amber? Were you a running around type of child?
Yeah, I think so.
I can imagine you being running around,
yeah.
Okay. All right, good. I'm glad we established that. It's obviously very important to make sure.
So you've managed to do this episode without an intro, yet that was an intro. And it's like...
I did it.
You did it.
Okay.
Right. So what I want to do now is go through a few comments and questions that I've received from listeners on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Some on the website, some on Facebook. The first one was a comment left... on our recent restaurants episode.
Okay.
And it was just us. And the comment's from Nick. And the comment goes like this. I was missing Paul's laugh while listening to this.
Thanks, Nick.
There you go.
Appreciate it.
The next one is an anonymous comment from a few episodes ago. And it just says this. Amber's voice seduced me.
Hello.
Okay. And then moving on to this comment, which arrived just a few days ago from a regular commenter called Eri from Japan.
Hi, Eri from Japan.
And Eri says this. No!
What?
I just found this comment now. So I wrote on the website, if you'd like to, I'm having Amber and Paul over. If you have any questions, just write them here. And that was like last week. She thinks she's too late. She's not too late.
You're not too late.
So, but she thought she was too late when she wrote this. So she wrote, no, I just found this comment now. Oh, dear. Thinking it's too late. Right. If I could add some message for both Amber and Paul. Here are the messages. So to Amber, it goes like this. I'm looking forward to listening to your podcast with the most lovely voice in the world.
Oh, thank you.
It really is.
Oh, soon. Very soon.
Okay.
April. I've promised myself.
You promised it.
April.
What date in April? Because, I mean, if you say the 30th of April.
Okay, well, next week is school and then there's 2 week holidays. And after that, 2 weeks. So in 3 weeks.
Okay.
That is when I want to get the podcast out.
What, like April the 1st?
Because you've recorded it already. Yeah. You just need to
I've recorded
chop it together.
Five.
Oh, really?
And edited five.
Very cool.
I said I was going to get 10 done, but I don't think I'll get 10. Okay. But I think if I get 7 done by April.
Are you going to release them all at the same time?
No, I'll release them slowly, but then that will give me time to do the next.
Well, yeah, by the time you know.
Yeah, exactly. So I can like keep going. So it'll be every other week.
Oh, that's exciting. What's it going to be called? Amber's History Podcast.
Pan Am.
I know there is a Pan Am,
but I mean, it does mean Paris.
No, Pan Am. Why Pan Am?
Pan Am is slang for Paris. And when I first moved to Paris, I listened to this song by Renaud, and I thought it was really good. But he had this thing saying how much he loved Pan Am. I didn't know what it was. It took me a really long time to find out.
What is Pan Am? Is it a kind of bread?
Yeah.
Is it a sort of...
I had no idea.
Yeah, it's the whole city.
So I just wanted to call it Paris, but not just like Paris, sort of a bit like, you know.
It's like a dessert, like panna cotta, but Pan Am.
Right.
Okay.
I think Pan Am is a good name. I do.
It's a great
I think
name.
It's a cool name.
Cool. All right.
And especially now,
it is the city in Hunger Games as well.
is it?
Yeah, that's the main thing where... No, but that's fine. They've stolen it from Paris, obviously. Yeah. But it's the... Yeah, it's where the government run the stuff.
The government... From, it's where the government run the stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's where the... It's the main city in Hunger Games where everything...
The capital city?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
I think it's called Panam.
That does sound, that actually, that rings a bell now.
I've only
now
watched
you
the
say
first
it.
Two. I haven't seen the third one.
Never seen Hunger
Games.
No.
Never seen Hunger
you should.
Games.
No. It's good.
Is it good?
Yeah. Yeah, no, yeah, it is. Fine. It's good, yeah.
All right.
Just for Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's good. Yeah. And hot. She's very hot. Yeah. It's good. And old, you know, the sort of sweaty, now dead actor who's very good.
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Love him.
I always have to say Philip Seymour Hoffman's name in a sort of a Brooklyn accent. Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Panem, sorry, not Panem.
Panem.
Close,
P-A-N-E-M,
though.
P-A-N-E-M, yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's too close that they obviously stole it from Paris.
Okay. So maybe. The podcast is looking, we can expect it in April sometime. It's going to be called Panam.
Yes.
Which is like a slang word for Paris. Mm-hmm. It's like the nickname for Paris.
Yes.
Fantastic. Looking forward to that. I might ask you a bit more about it in a moment. Okay. I think we've got a couple of other questions about that. Mm. To Paul from Erie. I've been checking all videos of What the Fuck France and cannot wait for the next episodes and other videos on YouTube. So it's not really a question. It's just a statement.
It's just a statement, yeah.
And please join in Luke's English podcast sometime when you have time.
Well, I'm here.
Exactly. Here you are.
Look.
Hello.
Here he is. Okay, Alexander Schneider.
Schneider, that means Taylor.
Does it?
Does it?
Yeah. I found that out because I had an ex-work mate called Mark Schneider, and I don't know how it came about, but... Oh, because I was doing my name in different languages. Like, in Spanish, my name is Pablo Sastre. In French, it's Paul Tailleur. And some guy in German was like, yeah, it's... I can't remember what Paul is. I think it's just Paul Schneider. I was like, oh, Schneider. And then I went through this whole... it was... So anyway, Schneider means Taylor.
Well, Alexander Schneider, who apparently shares the same name as you, doesn't have anything to say to you. He's just interested in us.
It's because between Taylors.
It's like, Schneider, I don't need to know about Taylor. I know everything there is to know about Taylors. I am one. No, he said, hi, Luke. I wonder when we should expect the release of Amber's podcast and how can we find it? Well, you've answered that question.
Yes, yes.
April.
Yep.
It's called Panam.
Yep.
Where will we find it?
I don't know. I can't deal with the technical
iTunes.
Stuff. I need to need you. That's where you're going to come in, Luke.
It'll definitely be on iTunes. It'll be on your website, which will be amberminogue.com.
Yeah, well, I tried to make a website using Squarespace.
Did you?
With their simple drag and drop tools, and I couldn't do it.
Really?
It's fucking really complicated.
Well, I'll help you out if you want. My website's on Squarespace.
Yeah, you'll have to, because I was like, Jesus, I can't do this. I'm too old.
Squarespace is the company that sponsors all podcasts.
Except this one.
Except mine.
Squarespace, if you're listening.
Great.
Squarespace, by the way, if all the special,
looks,
clever...
It's all fancy. It looks great.
If any Squarespace people are listening to this, this podcast does have an audience. You could sponsor me too.
Yeah.
I didn't put the latest one on.
Paul is now looking at Squarespace.
Yeah, I was just showing Amber.
It's really good. That's why I chose it. But I got lost. Yeah. I got completely...
Well, I'll help you out with it if you want.
Thank you. That'd be great.
Well, here's another one. And it goes like this. Sylvia said...
Sylvia.
I'm looking forward to Amber's podcast. I love her.
Oh, thank you, Sylvia.
When did you talk about your podcast?
I must be talking about it all the time because it's been
it's
ages
been
trying to get it
Yeah, but it's been
going.
A while that I haven't heard about it.
I always ask her to give us an update. So Naomi. And Naomi says, hello, Luke, Amber and Paul. How are you doing?
Very
good.
Well.
How are you,
thank
Naomi?
You.
Fine, thanks, Naomi. How are you? I'm fine. That's Naomi through the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? And she goes like this. So these are actual questions. Number one, you are very funny. All of us.
Okay.
All of us.
Did you used to make jokes in the classroom when you were students? Did you ever make jokes at school in the classroom? Were you like a cheeky student making jokes, making the class laugh, maybe getting told off by the teacher? Oh, Taylor, always making jokes. Come over here and let me... punish you physically.
How old are you, Luke? Surely, Paul.
You know what? I don't know if I was funny, but I was definitely a distraction. I remember in a lot of my school reports, it said that I was distracting the other students.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. There was one time, the first thing that came to my mind, it was more like practical jokes, like pranks. Mm. So what we did one time was when we all got mobile phones at some point. I think it must have been about...
He's young.
Yeah.
Very young.
Well, no, we were just early. Well, 13, 14.
Very young. I think I was 25 when I got a mobile phone.
Yeah, but that's just because your technology years.
You
know, she's it's the same with Addy. Like, Addy got her first computer when she was 20. I'm like, 20? And she's not that old, much older than me. Anyway, we all still got mobile phones and it was cool. And our teachers were like, no, you can't use them in class, blah, blah, blah. There was only a few of us that had them. But we decided that we would hide my phone somewhere in the classroom, like near the door or something like that, in our coat or something.
Yeah.
And my mate would just ring it all the time. And a teacher, she went mental. She got really angry, yeah. Mm. I was more of a naughty kid than a funny kid. I did things that weren't, you know, that were just naughty.
Yeah. Mm. Did the teacher ever scream, Taylor?
Yeah, all the time. Taylor, get in my office now!
Right.
To the headmaster.
Taylor!
Yeah, it was, I was in one of those schools where everyone called each other by their last names.
Right. Mm. Right, okay. What about you, Amber? Were you funny, naughty, as a child?
A bit naughty. Sometimes a bit naughty. I think I'd be a bit naughty in a covert way.
Right.
I can imagine you being rebellious.
I imagine her to be very studious, like a very good student, loving, like Hermione from Harry Potter.
I was a good student. I mean, I loved school. I got 100% attendance.
Really?
It was better at school than home.
100% attendance.
I got a certificate.
100% attendance.
Yeah, never missed a day.
How many years?
I don't think I got it every year.
Okay.
But I did it pretty often.
Year.
Yeah.
Like for one term, like what?
For the 100%. Whole year, if you come to school every single...
I tried as hard as possible not to go to school.
Not to go to school. Yeah. I liked school. It was nicer at school than it was at home. Mm. Mm. It was more fun at school. No, but I mean, at school, you're all friends and...
I used to wake up early to turn my mum's alarm clock off.
No.
Yeah. And this was, I was like seven. It was when we were living in France and we had like kind of in the sticks in France, like a nice house with multiple floors or whatever. So I remember I used to get up at like, I don't know, 6 a.m. I don't even remember how I got myself up. Whatever, I'd get up and I'd go downstairs to my mum's room, like quiet, go in.
Like a ninja.
Yeah, like a ninja.
Why not?
Turn her alarm off and go back up to sleep. And then she'd wake up late because she's a late sleeper like I am. And then I just wouldn't go to school.
And you'd be like, well, I suppose that it's far too late to go to school now, Mum.
Yeah.
I suppose we'll just have to stay at home and play Ninja Turtle games with knives. And she was okay, Paul, you just
here's some matches. Yeah, yeah. Go and amuse yourself.
Here's some matches. Here are some kitchen knives. Go and play on your own.
So, yeah, I wasn't.
Oh, Luke, were you naughty?
I was cheeky and a bit funny, but I used to get away with it.
You slapped a teacher in the head once.
I did, yeah. As we know from previous episodes of this podcast, I did get away with slapping a teacher around the back of the head once, which I sort of imagine that the teacher had a deep level of respect for me for it. I don't know why. I imagine the teacher was like, I admire the balls on that kid.
Really? Probably thought, little shit.
Hashtag no pedo.
I used to make funny comments and stuff, and then the teacher would be like, what's going on? And I'd be there looking all sweet and nice and innocent.
Yeah.
And some other kid would cop the
blame.
Thompson? Oh, Thompson, it's you. Okay.
As you were,
Thompson. So I used to make jokes and stuff, but I used to get away with it, basically. Second question from Naomi is this. It's a classic, this one. If you can have a special power, what would it be? You must have answered that question before. If you could have a special power, what would it be? Do you want options or do you want to just...
No.
Yeah, okay.
I think I would teleport.
What?
Actual,
teleport.
Like, I mean, yeah. You could just click your fingers and you'd be like somewhere else, so wherever you want to be.
If you wanted to be in the pub, you could just...
Pub. Bing,
and there you are in the pub.
Yeah.
So teleportation.
I think I'd quite like that.
But... what if you teleported into the middle of an object? Like, teleport into the pub, poof, and then you're there, and the bar is like halfway through.
I suppose if it's a superpower, it's got to have like some contingents. You know, like you can only teleport to...
Like a vacant space.
Yeah.
It automatically puts
you
into...
Well, in theory, somewhere you'd safe. Be teleporting into the position that you're currently in. So if I teleported from here, in theory, I'd need to find... Like, the universe would find me a table and a chair at a pub.
Okay.
You can just teleport and then suddenly be stood up.
Right. So you'd have to be like, if you're sitting down, you'd have to teleport into onto a chair somewhere else. Right, okay.
Yeah, it might be teleporting into the toilet and you're sat on the toilet.
Yeah, and then you just walk out of the toilet into the pub and everyone's like, where did you come from?
Yeah.
I was just in the toilet.
Yeah.
Okay, teleportation, that's pretty good. Paul? Yeah. What about, I imagine you'd choose teleportation too, but you'd call it teleportation. Just carry on.
Oh, I'm glad I was rushing to get here.
Just an idea.
I would do time travel, I think.
Yeah, that was my second choice, time travel.
Mm-hmm. I would just like to go to spend a day, I don't know, in old times.
Mm.
When?
Don't know.
Like when we were born.
Before mobiles.
I don't know. No, like way older. You know, like, I don't know, even... Like 30 years, I don't know, just specific.
30 years ago.
In the olden days, 30 years.
No, because I was born 30 years ago, so that doesn't work. I feel like I'm in 2000 and I'm like, 30 in the, whatever. Like basically like swinging 60s. It would be cool to just live a day in London when the 60s were happening.
Yeah.
Or, you know, it just like there's certain parts of where you see photos and old stuff and I'm just like, that looks really cool. Mm. You know, to see like Piccadilly Circus with the old buses and the old, it would just be fun, I think,
to
do that.
Yeah. Not maybe towards the future a little bit. Yeah, it'd be interesting to go, you know, like 5 years in the future and see what technology's like and see like, this is weird.
See the post-apocalyptic.
Feels scary to go into the future.
It would be a bit like, you know, a post-apocalyptic waste ground. Yeah. It'd be like The Matrix, just
maybe
the sky's all cloudy and lightning and just,
I need to watch that film again.
Devastation
again.
Everywhere.
Yeah. I know. I was just thinking that the other day.
I was just like, it probably means
more. The Matrix was a pivotal movie.
I think
we've lost it. Like love. We've fallen out of love with The Matrix. We need to re-find it. Should we watch The Matrix sometime?
Brilliant.
Yeah.
I love The Matrix.
Let's come round to Luke's house. Watch The Matrix.
Mr. Anderson, we've missed you.
It's a great movie.
Yeah, it's really
good.
Anyway.
It'd be fun to... What I'd like to do is, I guess, hopefully before we die, the technology will there. Is to be cryogenically frozen. Like, I don't know, I'll get to like 70, I'll be like, all right, cool, I know I've got a few years left, but I'll freeze myself now and wake up in like 200 years just to live like the 10 last years, just to be like, what's going on?
But
I'd like to do that.
But don't you get that thing that when you've been asleep for a long time, you feel like, you feel all groggy, it takes ages to wake up.
Yeah.
Imagine what it'd be like to be asleep for like 100 years. You'd be so groggy, it wouldn't be worth it.
Well, yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
But it might take you a year to get over the grogginess.
Right.
But then it would just be interesting to see what the world has become for a little while and then just pop it.
Yeah. Okay. Just have a little glance, a little glimpse of what the future can be like.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know what my special ability would be.
Would you like to have accordions for legs?
Well, yeah.
is that what you'd like?
Obviously. I don't know. I think I'd like to have the Force, you know, and all the things that you can get as a Jedi. I think that's what it would be. I would like to be able to move objects with, I'd like to use the Jedi mind trick. You know, these aren't the droids you're looking for, you know. You can go about your business.
You do that in France anyway with your accent.
That's right, I can. Just sort of like, sorry, I don't understand. They're like, no problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can go because we can't speak English, so just go ahead.
those are good skills.
I'd have the Force, I think.
Yep.
I think that's what I'd have. Okay, third question from Naomi. What food would you bring to a desert island?
Water.
Water.
No, that was just a stupid quick answer.
Food. What food would you bring to a desert island? Interesting question because it's sort of thing. There's two ways of approaching that question. Either you go for the survival approach, like what's the food that's going to help you survive, or just the what food do you want to eat?
Yeah.
Basically. You're going to have one food for the rest of your life. What's it going to be? Or which food would help you survive the best in an otherwise remote and foodless place?
I'd bring a dessert.
Yeah.
To a desert island.
Oh!
You wouldn't get confused, though.
this podcast is terrible.
Oh,
God. I don't know. What would you bring?
I don't know. It depends if there was stuff on the desert island. Like if there was coconut trees.
Sand. There's sand there. We know that much.
Because if I could bring some coconuts, because then they can grow into trees. And then, you know, they've got delicious water and the coconut is healthy and good for you.
Yes.
Might bring a
coconut.
Pretty
good. If you plant a coconut, will it become a tree?
Fuck knows.
No. It's going to take a long time, isn't it?
You think I'd be dead before then?
I think so. The shoot will be growing up.
Just bring one coconut.
You'll starve to death.
But maybe I've got, I don't know. Maybe they grow from old coconuts?
I don't know how coconuts work. All I know is that you break them open and it's and you get water, a little bit of water, and basically Tom Hanks, you know that movie, Castaway? Yeah. That's all I know about coconuts, is that they have a white fleshy pulp, which is quite sweet.
Delicious.
But if you just eat that, I think you do go mad eventually.
Well, I think the desert island.
Yeah, that probably would do it.
Yeah, go on then.
I would bring some sort of like a wrap, you know. I think I'd just bring a wrap with
sandwiches.
Me. Yeah, like sandwiches. Sandwiches, yeah. Sandwiches, yeah.
I'll get a Boots meal deal, please.
Yeah, like just a chicken and salad sandwich, please.
Coronation chicken.
I have an egg and cress.
Cajun chicken salad sandwich.
Okay.
On brown wholemeal bread from Boots, please. That's what I'd like. Because they come in the handy little plastic pack.
What?
We'll keep the sand
Hold
out.
Hold on. You're bringing plastic to a desert island.
Yeah. Because, I mean, it's...
Do you know I'm single-handedly waging war against plastic?
Okay. Well, I would use the plastic. I'd use it to keep... bait for fish. I'd use plastic. I'd make it into a boat and I'd use it to escape the desert island somehow. Just this tiny little plastic thing. Yeah, okay, it's obviously ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
Anyway, thanks.
Okay, go on.
And Naomi then says, sorry for my silly questions.
I'd bring a chicken.
Just a chicken?
A chicken.
A yeah? chicken.
Technically it's food because it will give me eggs
and
for
company.
A while. And company. And then when it dies, then I'll eat it. And so, whatever.
Okay.
And then maybe one of the eggs. Well, no. I was going to say it would be fertilised, but it wouldn't be. How would it be fertilised? No.
Well, you did say you'd...
I'll create a new race of chicken humans.
You did say it would keep you company, but we didn't... We assumed you meant just social company.
Friendly.
Yeah.
Well, if we're going that way, why not have a cow? Because, you know, you can get a lot more milk and...
Yeah, but a cow's
friendship.
Heavy.
Friendship, you know, a whole world of possibilities.
Yeah, but chickens are cool.
That is quite good.
Mm, I hear they're friendly. Or a duck.
And you can smuggle one in the plane onto the desert island. Be difficult to get a cow onto a plane.
Well, she's not stipulated.
Push it on.
This might be desert island discs. It doesn't matter. You can have whatever you want. Yeah. Okay. Desert island desserts.
All right.
Okay.
Well, she says, have a nice recording. I'm looking forward to the listening to the Pod Pals. I can't wait for Amber's podcast. You see?
Yeah. Get it out there.
Pavel. I can't pronounce his surname. Pavel says, do you guys have favourite YouTubers?
Paul, this is one for you.
Favourite YouTuber?
I found a new guy recently. Not a new guy, but a guy... Because I didn't realise YouTube... I don't follow... The only YouTubers I follow are French ones. Because I didn't realise there was like other YouTubers.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's an English guy who I like a lot.
Yeah.
His YouTube name is Jackmate.
Jackmate.
Jack with two A's and mate with two A's. And he basically rants... all the time about everything, and it's hilarious. I love people that
in
that
the car
are no just in his thing. it's fucking great. He just destroys other YouTubers. But like in a really, I don't know, it's just it's a very, I don't know, it's a weird, I find it difficult to describe.
Yeah,
but Jackmate is I'll play you like a 2 second or a 10 second version of one of his videos, but that he's my currently my favorite YouTuber.
Is he British?
Yes.
Or British?
British.
Jackmate.
Okay.
All right,
check
then.
Him out. You, Amber?
I in fact only recently found out who one of the most famous YouTuber was. PewDiePie. Who sounds like a complete cunt.
Yeah.
And I only found out about it, I'm sorry, because of The Guardian. They wrote an article about him being a bit of a cunt, really.
Yeah.
And wow, I thought... just not interested really in YouTube. I mean, I watch some things on YouTube, like Diane Love for her tutorials about hula hooping, which I enjoy.
What?
But I don't watch any YouTubers particularly.
Hula hooping tutorials?
Yeah, I love to hula hoop.
Like that thing where you have a...
Hula hooping.
It's like you make it spin round your waist.
Yep.
If you're watching on YouTube, we're now currently doing hula hooping.
Some hula hooping.
Hula hooping.
Yeah, I like spin to learn new techniques.
I can't do it.
I can teach you.
Okay.
All right, this is this guy here.
Can you turn it around so they can see?
Yeah.
Jackmate.
Some of you guys who like to trawl through YouTube on the daily have probably noticed that a lot of content creators are getting a shit ton of views for posting mind tricks,
life hacks,
or a 1,000-degree glowing knife cutting through an inanimate object.
Oh my god, have you seen what this 1,000-degree glowing knife does?
No, what does it do?
It cuts through stuff.
What? No way, that sounds crazy. I must watch that.
But today, specifically, Jack, mate, is talking about the mind trick videos, the life hacks.
And I think it's safe to say that the guy uploading the lion's share of these waste of time videos, the king of cringe himself, is Mr. Pro Gamer Jay. So being a man of the people, I thought I would make this video today to really get to know the man behind the clickbait. Let's go. So, Pro Gamer Jay, nice easy one to begin with. What's your full name?
My full name is Jay, and my last name is Pro Gamer.
Shit banter, and I already hate your voice, but let's look past that. You've only been doing YouTube as a full-time thing for about 6 months now, so what were you doing before YouTube, Jay?
Before I'd started doing YouTube, I was a full-time pussy destroyer.
Oh, what?
Pussy destroyer?
I was a full-time pussy destroyer.
How would you go about acquiring all this pussy? Because, no offence, you don't look like the modern-day Casanova.
But anyone can get all this pussy, really. It's not that hard.
Over 1 million subscribers.
Oh, my God. Wow.
You just have to be in this...
So wait a minute.
So he basically does a lot of complaining, like most recently about other YouTube. It's just very funny, and like I like his style.
Yeah, yeah. He's got a really sort of acerbic.
I kind of secretly want him to do a one about me. To be like, who's this cunt who fucking makes fun of French people?
So he calls himself Paul Taylor, right? But I ain't seen him making any clothes at all. What is this nonsense?
Yeah,
yeah.
So anyway, yeah, he's funny. Mm.
He is funny.
You've
like
just dropped the C-bomb 3 times in the podcast. That's the first time that the C-bomb has been dropped for many episodes.
Is it?
It got dropped once a long time ago in an educational episode about the C-bomb.
In an educational episode?
It was only delivered previously in an educational context, in a safe environment.
You might have to bleep it out
just
then.
Just dropped down the C-word 3 times... out of nowhere.
Sorry.
And I didn't do a there might be some swearing at the beginning. I didn't do that, so people are now like literally sort of
switching
like
off.
Cars are strewn across roads, so there's like explosions going on all around the world now because of the C-bomb that you just dropped. And other people are now going, what's the C-bomb, what's he talking about? It's the word cunt. It's the rudest word. It's one of the rudest words in the English language,
I think. It is. There's no other.
It's really, really, really rude. It's ruder than shit. It's ruder than fuck. It's ruder than motherfucker. It is the rudest.
I think you're going to need to have little...
I think I'm going to need to bleep this out.
A little E.
Or just edit the whole chunk out. Okay. All right. So, Jackmate for you, Paul.
Yeah.
What was the hula hoop girl called?
Well, she's not a YouTuber. I watch Diane Love, her tutorials. I mean, I watch French ones. I've seen some of Norman's.
Okay.
I don't know.
What
any.
About you, Luke?
I like a guy called, you might know him, the Nerdwriter. Have you seen any Nerdwriter videos? Nerdwriter 1 on YouTube, and he does like... kind of quite serious video essays,
mm-hmm.
and they're really, really, really well made, really well put together. And each one is about 10 minutes long, maybe less, and they go up every Wednesday, and he just talks about a subject. Like, for example, he did one about Donald Trump, how Donald Trump answers a question, and he goes into a lot of detail, and they're really, really cleverly edited with lots of really good graphics and stuff, and just like really brilliantly made YouTube videos.
What's his name?
Nerdwriter.
To check it out.
Nerdwriter 1. I mean, he's a little bit pretentious as well. I find him a little bit pretentious at times, but I have to say that just the way he puts his videos together with like different kinds of graphics and stuff, it's just really, really good. Really well edited stuff. So,
okay.
Yeah. Jairo Trujillo. How would you say that, Paul?
Go for it.
Oh, he's one of my regulars.
Yeah.
Jairo Trujillo García.
Okay, he's nice.
Nicely done.
Long-term Lepster.
Yeah, so that's where he's come from.
Uh-huh.
He sent me a happy St. Patrick's Day message the other day.
That's nice.
With a pig, like a St. Patrick's pig. I think it was a pig.
Yeah.
It was weird. I was just like, oh, that's cool, thanks.
And a bunch of...
Heido.
And a bunch of shamrocks.
Yeah, basically. Okay. Have you seen it? Oh, no,
he sent me one of those messages.
Oh,
too.
Did he?
Yeah.
One of these...
He's a fan of the podcast.
It was just a baby pig in a Guinness.
Oh, right. Very nice.
With a hat.
Yes.
It's a little pig with a Guinness cap.
Would you like a pint of Guinness?
A little pig there. An adorable little pig.
You
anyway, Gyro says, good luck for the show tonight. That was from last week.
Oh, okay.
And he said, question, what do you most admire about the people you are sitting with right now and Ooh. Why. What do you most admire? Anything? Think hard.
I admire Paul's drive. He's very driven, and his braveness. You know, he decided to give up his job at Apple, even though it was a really good job that I think lots of people would have loved to have to follow his dream. And so that was a really, really brave move. Mm. And he's a man with a lot of integrity. When he felt that his show was being undermined, you know, the work that him and all the team that had done on it, they were trying to sort of threaten that. They were going to make it from 3 minutes to 2 minutes and cut it in a way you didn't. You said, you know, it's no. You said no. You put down your foot, even though it could have meant that you lost your place at Canal Plus. So I mean, like integrity and drive and braveness. Those are, I think, those are admirable qualities.
Is it braveness or bravery?
Bravery.
Sorry.
Wow.
And his
this
vocabulary.
Is Luke's English podcast, after all.
Yeah.
I found a word.
Yes, yeah. He knows a word and his words knowledge, his word smithery.
Paul just corrected Amber on a word.
Totally.
I don't need to win the lying game anymore. I just won.
We just won in life. So lots of plenty of things to admire about Paul.
Okay.
And for Luke, Luke is generous, kind, funny, and so dedicated to the podcast. You know, there's so much content on this podcast, and he really he's always trying to find like new things and getting us on, and puts in so much like time and effort for it. And it really shows, like the people listen to it really get such nice feedback from them, because you know, it's a two-way thing. You've put in so much time and effort. So yeah, plenty there too.
Oh, well, that's nice. Oh.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah, I admire Luke for his I don't know how you fit everything in.
Yeah.
That it's your time is in, I don't know, I've got no idea. You're so busy doing so many things. I admire how you manage your time. Even though you said, oh, you've been doing this business English thing for ages and it's not really, you know, you're kind of getting there, without that, just this podcast on its own would be almost like a full-time job. And but you're doing that as well as stand up, as well as teaching people English.
And learning French
and somehow trying to keep a French lady happy. So that's
very difficult.
That's, I admire the how you use your time.
Oh wow, thanks guys. Cool.
And and Amber, I admire how intelligent you are. No, seriously, like you know everything about everything. You're so cultured.
Yeah.
You know everything about TV, about books, radio, anything. And I'm just, I always sit there, I'm just like, great, I know nothing about anything.
Just Radio 4.
Your cultural knowledge is
very kind.
Well, I admire Paul over here for his energy, because, you know, obviously you've got to bring a lot of energy to be able to do that show, with the number of episodes that get produced and doing the live show and all that. And I also like the kind of, I don't know what, like the sort of down to earth level of confidence as well, because when you for example get on stage, and if you get some success in the stand up comedy game, it can go to some people's heads and it sort of makes people go a bit sort of weird, but you seem to have both feet on the ground, and I think that's a very admirable thing, right?
Yes.
So there's that, and also, you know, again, other comics sometimes can get a little bit sort of sensitive about, you know, the limelight and about, you know, the whole world of stand-up. And some people are very sort of precious about it, but you don't seem to be very precious. And I think that's a good thing. It's probably going to work out for you in the future. Because, you know, some people kind of, their attitude.
Precious, like.
Well, like, you know, they wouldn't, like the other day you did, you know, the gig with Rob and everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, some people could be a bit like, oh, I don't need to do this small gig. I know you're still like open. It's just not gone to your head. You're not being a dick. You're just being nice and normal and like doing like amazing sold out shows at huge venues and then still like, you know, putting as much energy and love into a really small audience in a small venue, which is like a much less sort of famous sort of scene. That made no sense. Do you know what I mean?
I understood. I understood what you meant. And, well, Amber, you know, like,
my knowledge of Radio 4.
Yeah, your knowledge of Radio 4.
Yeah.
Obviously, the fact that you're so well-read and, like Paul said, you know, you're very knowledgeable and intelligent and all that stuff. But also, you know, I admire you for your level of French. You know, your French is excellent. And it's not like Paul, you didn't cheat and learn it as a child.
Yeah, it's true.
You learned it.
You
as
don't
a,
count. Yeah.
You learned it as an adult. And that's really hard. That's really impressive, because I know what it takes to learn another language to a good level. And it's really good. So, you know, I admire you a lot for that. And also for bringing up a human.
Yes.
Raising a human being. That's amazing. And you know, being still being energetic and positive. Some parents are like, you know, they just they don't have any energy and all that stuff. But no, you seem to, you know, have the energy and still to keep doing all the things you're doing while also bringing up a little boy is, I think, really admirable.
Thank you.
And keeping a Frenchman happy.
Keeping a Frenchman happy. He's not that happy. I don't know how happy I've kept him. Okay. Yeah. All right, then. That was very nice. Wow. That was a very positive little moment, wasn't it?
There's a lot of love in this room.
Love here. Feeling very loved.
So
next question. What do you hate most about the people that you're sitting next to?
Good question.
Right, I've got an interesting comment here from a listener. It's not really a question. It's just a comment on our TripAdvisor episode.
Okay.
About restaurants. And I thought I'd share it here because it just... It's just like, wow. This one for me, there's so much in this comment that it's just, I had to share it with you, right? So this one is, I don't know where this listener is from. I think the person is Japanese. And it goes like this. So we were talking about weird experiences we'd had in restaurants, like, you know, horrible meals that we'd had.
Right,
in
like the slug on the...
on the lettuce,
slug in the salad and stuff. And it goes like this. So one day, about 10 years ago, right, and I'm asking you this, I just want to know what you think.
Okay.
Right? What does it mean to you? One day, about 10 years ago, I had a supper with my future husband and his father in a roadside cafe on the way home. The waiter brought my meal, and the three of us noticed a small insect lying on the plate.
Okay. Mm.
In spite of this, I ate all the supper, so she didn't complain about it. Then my husband's father said that his son had to marry me. Right?
Okay.
And then this is the final sentence. If I hadn't been frightened to eat it, I wouldn't be struck by family routine.
Mm-hmm. What? Say that last bit.
If I hadn't been frightened to eat it, I wouldn't be struck by family routine.
If I hadn't.
I think what this.
I think she just means, you know, if she's sort of cool enough to just be like, ah, doesn't matter, insect in my meal. You know,
but
she
wasn't,
she rolls with
scared
the punches.
Enough to eat it. That's if I hadn't. That the first part of that phrase I don't understand.
If I hadn't been frightened to eat it, if I had
she wasn't frightened to eat it because she.
If I had been frightened to eat it is probably what it means.
Mm.
Maybe I've completely misunderstood this, but what I understood here is that she. So the food arrived. There was an insect on it,
yeah.
And she didn't complain about it.
Yeah.
She ate the rest of the food and didn't make a fuss. And the guy's father saw this and he was like, "You have to marry her.
Yeah.
She doesn't complain about stuff." This is the girl for you.
And she
then now has wound up in like a family routine, and all because she chose not to complain about the insect. If she had complained about it, then she wouldn't have married this guy.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's that like a whole story.
Well, before you read that last sentence, I was I could see as soon as you said if I hadn't, I was like, oh, okay, if she had complain about it, the father wouldn't have said, oh, you should marry her, and then it would have been a different situation.
If she'd said, oh, there's an insect, then the husband, the father wouldn't be like, no, she's not the right one for you. So the father picked her because she didn't complain about the insect.
Yeah.
So now she's stuck with a husband...
Who peppers her food with insects. Just sprinkles ants on her dish.
Now she's married to an insect.
Well, and she says routine. For us, routine doesn't sound good, right? Like, it's negative, but maybe in this case, maybe that's a good thing.
I don't know, really.
It's ambiguous.
A little ambiguous, but just curious. I didn't really get the... I thought maybe she means stuck in a family routine, not struck by family routine. Maybe it's a happy ending to the story or an unhappy ending.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure. So if that was you out there listening to this, you know, let us know what you mean.
Are you happy about being married because of an insect, or are you unhappy about... Are you thinking that you should have complained and then... Mm. I don't know. Who knows?
If you'd complained, would your father-in-law have recommended... to your current husband that he marry you? This is all far too complicated.
Yeah. Yep.
All right.
Okay, here's an image that I got sent by Chris Benitez.
Okay, then.
I think it was posted on Facebook, and it's just one of those images, but don't read it. It's one of those images that looks like a set of text messages.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, those joke things you get.
Yeah.
And it goes like this. So one person says, I am hungry. It's obviously, this is for all the fans of the Russian joke.
Yeah.
I am hungry. Which obviously is, and the next person says, maybe you should check the fridge. And the other person goes, I'm rushing to the kitchen. And then the next person goes, is there any turkey? And then the next person goes, we have some, but it's covered with a layer of grease. And then, ew, there's no way you can eat that. So it's just a bunch of other jokes with countries.
Yeah, it's great.
It's good, though.
That's a good one.
Yeah, Hungary, Czech,
like Norway.
Czech Republic. I'm Russian to the kitchen. Is there any turkey? We have some, but it's covered in a layer of grease. Okay, and there's no way you can eat that. All right, then, fine. Oh, I got this on YouTube. This is a comment on YouTube just the other day.
Okay.
And it goes like this, from Boy Trent. And it goes, are you the same Luke English who bid on a PS4 Pro system on eBay at the last minute and then, full stop, didn't pay or leave me any information as to what was going on? eBay are now going to issue you with a non-payment mark on the 19th of March 2017. I should state that many honest people were bidding on this item and strangely, you appeared out of nowhere at the very last minute. After I'd blocked bids from other... normal European, Eastern European fraudsters and so on. I am a person of integrity and honesty, and I am really sick and tired of people making false bids on items on eBay, destroying the core purpose of eBay and leaving me with an unsold item and with about £300 from the honest bidder you dishonestly won over. Yes, I am angry, and I copy and paste the eventual response you sent me only after eBay contacted you. And I reply, and this is the response that he's copied.
That was
and
yesterday.
Yeah, just a few days ago. And so this guy's really angry. And I wrote back to him saying, you got the wrong guy. And my name's not Luke English. It's Luke Thompson.
Yeah.
He wrote back quite quickly going, oh, sorry. So clearly what's happened here is that this guy, Boy Trent, or whatever his name is, got... Like someone, you know, did something to him on eBay that made him really
classic.
Angry.
Classic. That's why I stopped using eBay like 10 years ago. I tried to sell my PSP.
Yeah.
And it got about 10 Nigerian bids that all got cancelled. Like I had to redo it every time.
Why do they, what's the interest in bidding and cancelling? Is there any?
What they do is they buy it, but then they go, oh, can you send me the thing can you send it to this address in Nigeria because my... Shut up, no.
No, okay.
So they win the bid, but then they just don't pay for it.
Yeah, exactly.
They try to get you to send it before paying.
And then also eBay are pretty good usually at cancelling those bids, but then they cancel the whole thing. It's like, oh, sorry, you're... I mean, this is 10 years ago when I stopped using it because I used it for about a month to sell some stuff. And then I was trying to sell it was just electronic.
Yeah.
Just anything technology. Mm. They were just like, yeah, we've cancelled your thing because there was a fraudulent bid from Nigeria. Great. So now I have to spend half an hour re-putting in the and I just gave up. I was just like,
pointless.
Ah, right. I'll just throw it in the bin.
Okay. So this guy obviously thought that I was some sort of fraudster on eBay. And the guy's name was Luke English. And so he probably Googled Luke English and looked all over the internet for Luke. He was like, I will find you. I will hunt you down. It's like he decided to go all Liam Neeson on me. And then he searched and he found Luke's English podcast.
Luke
and
English is a pretty common name, no?
Yeah.
Well,
because English, I know a number of
English. I'm going to type Luke English into Google and see what happens.
And
well,
anyway,
the first one is Luke's English podcast.
He obviously assumed that I was the guy he was looking for.
YouTube, there we go.
And then he tried to take me down with a comment. But I'm sort of like, sorry, mate, wrong guy. I'm not Luke English.
Oh, well, at least he apologized.
He did apologize afterwards. But what an angry outburst.
Mm. All right, you've got this is the top photo for Luke English. Second is that
Luke's English podcast. Yeah.
Third is you again, and then fourth is this guy.
Who's this guy?
Luke English. He's
English teacher
in Jakarta.
Show us Luke English.
Luke English, English teacher in Jakarta.
Okay.
And the previous photo was the real Luke English.
Luke's English podcast.
Look at that. Oh, look, we could even do almost one of these things because the background almost matches, you know, like it's behind there, isn't it?
The photo was taken over there,
so that's not going to work.
All right, what time are we at? 1 hour. Okay, one more question here, and then you know we'll do something else.
We'll stop.
Okay.
One more question is from Wesley, and it's a slightly more serious question.
Hi, Wesley.
Maybe 5 minutes on it. Okay. I reckon. So Wesley said, "Hello, Luke, Amber, and Paul." Hello, Wesley. Are you doing all right?
Yes.
Yeah, doing all right? And he goes like this. As the French presidential election is drawing nearer, I was wondering what the three of you think about the candidates. After Brexit and the Italian constitution referendum result, Marine Le Pen being the next French president could be the final blow for the European Union. In your opinion, does she stand a good chance to win the election? In this so-called post-truth era, do you consider opinion polls to be reliable enough? All the best, Wesley. And I'm going to start the clock now. So, Marine Le Pen, leader of the National Front, the far-right candidate, is. Do you think she's going to win the French presidential election? Go.
No.
Yes.
Why, Amber?
I don't think she will. I was here in France in 2001 when the Chirac and Le Pen senior father.
Her papa.
Marine, I am your father.
Marine, her father.
Marine Le Pen's father got through to the final round.
To the second round.
In 2001.
Exactly.
That's the last time they were made. They made it to the second round, right?
Yes.
That's the last time the National Front got to the second round.
And indeed, maybe the first. No, I don't know.
I think so.
Maybe in a first.
I think so.
So, and there was, I mean, there was an outcry. There was this incredibly strong feeling in France that even though Chirac wasn't perhaps the popular choice at the time, he was way more popular than the Front National. And of course, you can't compare Marine Le Pen to, you know, Jean-Marie Le Pen. They're not the same. But there was this sort of movement, this sort of incredible movement. People really came out to vote against this. And I think although Marine Le Pen, she's different from her father. She's worked very hard to distinguish herself. You know, she's a good public speaker. She's got a lot of support, you know, Brexit and all the rest of it. I feel that even if she went through, if the Front National went through to the second round, there'd be again this big surge, this big movement. I don't think that the French people would want to see the National Front in power.
Okay. I think it's going to happen. Just because of what's been happening in the world. And I've been watching a couple of things of like interviews with people our age who are voting FN. Not in Paris, because Paris is, you know, Paris. But I think it's the same thing with London, right? We forget that most of the population isn't here. And even though it feels like when you're on the metro, the whole population of France is on there with you. But yeah, I was listening to some interviews with like people our age who are voting FN, and they were normal. They weren't like, you know, crazy like proper right-wing like racist anti-immigration. They're just like, yeah, we don't like what's happening right now, blah blah blah. And it, a lot of what they were saying was just kind of like, I get your point, you know, like it's scary that you would vote for this person considering like the what they're talking, like what that whole party's talking about. So I won't be surprised. I wasn't surprised when Trump got elected. I was the person that was like, yeah, Trump's gonna get elected. Everyone's like, nah. I was like, yeah, he probably will. And I'm thinking the same thing here. There was a second question which I thought was interesting as well.
It was opinion polls.
Can we
trust the opinion polls?
I don't think we could ever really trust opinion polls. Because as a comedian pointed out, I can't remember who it was, either Bill Burr or someone like that, they were like, who answers these? Like, when have you ever been polled on
asked.
The street?
Yeah.
And as soon as somebody comes up to you with a clipboard on the street, you just go, nah, no thanks. Normal people.
Normal people, yeah.
People who have got something to say. Because, you know, they've done their vote already, like exit polls, you know, you've done you've voted. And then when you come out, you obviously want to tell everyone, you know, if you've got a really, but I think normal educated people just go, no, I don't want to. So I think the polls are very
unreliable
because the people that answer them are people that like you wouldn't, you know, if you're in the street and somebody comes up to you with a clipboard, you go, nah.
And also, I think there's a bit of a social stigma about voting National Front. Mm. And so if someone came up, if you had chosen to vote National Front, but you were a little bit shy about it because you don't want to get the judgment of other people, and someone came up to you, hi, I'd like to ask you who you voted for. You'd be like, no, not today, thanks. Mm. Like the National Front voters are not necessarily going to be the ones to proudly declare it in public.
Well, there's a French comedian who's very funny politically. He was talking about the last time when it was the European election and the National Front won by miles, whatever it was. And then all of a sudden when he's on stage, he's like, who voted FN, the National Front? And everyone was like, he's like, yeah, where are all these people? It's suddenly like they all crawled out of the ground to vote.
Right.
But yeah, you're right. I think people like want to vote because they want to vote for something different than what they've seen.
They're like,
but they don't want to admit it. The people on TV that I saw did, you know, the young people that were like, yeah, we're going to vote for the National Front because we don't, you know, there's so much scandals going on. We just want to, you know, it's time for a change.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And so it's worrying.
No, I think it's definitely worrying, and I think we shouldn't underestimate how far they've come and how much power they have. And also, you know, just that the normal people, like, it isn't freaks and fanatics who are voting for the National Front.
Well, especially now, like, terrorism's taken, like, it's been a big issue in France in the last couple of years.
I still have faith in the French. I can't.
France is quite a left-wing country, though, so it would be a massive
change,
shift to vote the National Front.
The current party's left as well, so it'd be.
I think it's really a case of, like, I think she will definitely get through to the second round.
Yeah.
Round is only two left, right?
Yeah. It'll be her, between and it'll probably be Emmanuel Macron, this centrist candidate who's going to steal votes from, you know, from Fillon, and he's going to steal votes from the left and the right. So they'll get through to the second round. And then what will happen is the right-wing voters will vote for Marine Le Pen, and then everyone else will vote for Macron. I think he will absorb votes from lots of different directions. But I think that's what's going to happen.
I think the advantage of the Macron, because, you know, you've got that similar sort of feeling of, like, Hillary and Trump, and, like, Trump seems sort of, like, too crazy and out there. But Hillary was very much despised. Like, lots of people didn't like her for various reasons. And whereas Macron, he's not so clear what his policies are. Some people don't like him for various reasons, but he's not a figure that people sort of actively seem to despise or dislike. They sort of could hope that, yeah, why not? He's going to come together for us for social stuff. He's going to, he could still do good things for the economy. Yeah. So I think he's, you know, his vagueness could in the end be the thing that saves him.
Well, and the difference between here and the US is it's a much smaller country. So there's not that, like, no one, I don't know, it's just a weird sort of, I don't know, it's just I don't know enough about it, but I just,
I think, you know, we'll people see. Usually vote for change, you know, in these sorts of elections, they will. And so that's an advantage for Marine Le Pen, but also it's an advantage
and
for
Macron.
Him, because he does sort of represent change a little bit.
He's
kind of youthful, and he's slightly more liberal economically than the current government.
He's not a career politician, he's not just done that.
That's right, he has done other things in his life, and so... Yeah, there's a breath of fresh air kind of feeling with
him. There's never been a female president in France, right?
No.
So that's also against her.
It is a bit.
Which I think probably was similar with Hillary.
Yeah.
It just happened. And she looks like Voldemort, and I hate her. I just don't like the way she drives me nuts. Just her facial expressions and her... the reaction she has to questions that are asked, she grates me.
Well, I mean, like, public speaking and how you come across is really important. Yeah. The thing with Marine Le Pen is... everyone knows her. You know, she's been around for such a long time, which is good and bad. But I mean, there's a lot of baggage with the FN. And I think, people might not, they might keep it quiet. They're embarrassed to vote for them. But there are people which still feel like fundamentally like they couldn't vote for them. There's just too much history, much baggage.
Can you vote?
No,
it's funny. Good question, but neither of us can vote.
None of us can vote. I'm trying, but I'm not there
yet. So we're just going to be watching it from afar.
We can just try and shift public opinion with the massive
English podcast,
the massive level of influence that we all have.
Oh, we're going to get hammered on our. We're filming the What the Fuck Politics.
Are you?
Wednesday.
Yes.
I'm sure it's gonna go mental. I'm
it's
sure
gonna
people
be
are gonna be like,
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, but it's not controversial. We're fairly neutral about everything.
Yes.
You know, when we were chatting about it, like, oh, let's find some funny, you know, links with Star Wars and, you know, stuff. It's not. You know, but the people have already been like, oh, you know, you should be careful what you're saying because influence, blah, blah, blah. You've got so many people that watch your videos. I'm like, people who already think what they think are already going to do what they're going to do. Not by watching my videos for 3 minutes, they're going to be like, oh, actually, Paul's right about the fact that we're shit in France
That 3 minutes of What the Fuck France has totally shifted my entire worldview.
Yeah, and also people don't change their opinions. They just look for things that sort of bolster them.
Exactly, yeah. So, they follow news websites and follow things that match their
opinions.
Already
agrees with what they think,
Confirmation bias.
Exactly.
So, Wesley, I hope that answers your question. We're not really sure.
What do you think, Wesley? Leave us a comment on YouTube or on Luke's English Podcast.
That's right, teacherluke.co.uk. We'd like to read your comments, ladies and gentlemen. This sounded like a bit like a radio show there, didn't it?
Text us, Luke's English Podcast at 8801.
The text lines are open. You can get through to us on teacherluke.co.uk at Luke's English Podcast.
Or hashtag LEP.
Hashtag LEP. Yeah, okay. You're listening to Drive Time on Luke's English Podcast.
And now for the weather with Amber Minogue.
Amber?
It's grey. It's grey. It's a grey day. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's grey here in Paris today. Guys, okay. Thank you very much for answering comments and questions from the website and for talking nonsense for part of the episode, although I think the bit about politics was quite factual.
Well, yeah, it might be good. I mean, for everyone else who's listening to this in other parts of the world, they probably are just like, what?
Who? France? What?
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway. Mm. All right, thanks for being on the podcast. And are you able to stick around for a little bit longer and do something? Yeah.
It's coffee break and a
coffee break
email
next one.
Break.
Yeah.
Okay, then. All right. You're going to join me in a bye-bye-bye?
All right.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to do a bye-bye-bye to the camera.
Thanks for listening. Are you going to turn the camera off?
I'm going to go like that.
Yeah, ready, okay. Ready, ready, ready. Thanks for listening. No, I got that wrong. Thanks for listening, ladies and gents. Speak to you again on the podcast soon. But for now, it's time to say goodbye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.